Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not like that. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ken McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com is joining us. Good morning to you, Ken.
Hey, Rob. How's it going?
Not good. I mean, I hate losing. I mean, this loss reminds me of 2024. Week 13. Lose 24-19 to the Philadelphia Eagles. A game that the score was, the game was worse than the score. Eagles just completely just manhandled the Baltimore Ravens in that game. Ravens came back and won four in a row, but the difference is that next week they had the Giants up in New Jersey. This week they have Kansas City, the Chiefs in Kansas City. Your thought, do you see a comparison between those two games?
Perfect comp. And that's the game. They backdoored it to a one-score game is certainly a part of the comp. But the bigger thing maybe is they got dominated on the lines on both sides of the ball. The offensive line for the Eagles and this last week for Monday for the Lions was just too big and too strong for what the Ravens had to offer up front. The Ravens went into this game very undermanned and got badly outmuscled on both sides of the ball. The loss of Madubuike was huge. The loss of Travis Jones potentially this week is even bigger. He left the game. I don't know if you guys caught it, but at the end tried to return and then begged out after one snap. So he's got some sort of a lower leg injury. It would appear from just watching the game tape.
Well, they did have significant injuries, but so did the Lions. Like their interior line was very suspect, according to what I heard. Yet they just completely bullied and out-muscled the Ravens' defensive line. The big question, I'll start at the macro level and then get into particulars like the pass rush and run defense. Can this defense be fixed at all?
Yeah, I think that's really the question. So you look back at the big Ravens fix ever in season. It was in 2019. And they really flushed the toilet on major elements of that defense, including the inside linebacker group. Then they got Jihad Ward. And then the crown jewel on that was picking up Marcus Peters, of course, at midseason. And he was a distressed asset when they got him. He was giving up over 9 yards per target with the Rams. They thought he was completely fried. So they traded him for, a bag of chips, essentially. Yeah. And ended up being all pro that season, for the Ravens. I don't see that kind of a move coming along very often. The Roquan Smith move in 22 turned the defense around with one player. I'm not sure the Ravens defense is one player away anywhere. And being down the absolute pass rush battery of this team of Jones and Madubuike, they're the guys who play together on basically every high leverage down for the Ravens. That would just be enormous. I'm hoping it's nothing serious for Jones, but we'll see.
So, Ken, there was the audio going around of Chris Canty just killing the team with how they played and getting manhandled. And one of the guys he brought up was Malachi Starks getting an open run in the hole and getting, as he put it, slowly run over by David Montgomery. What are your thoughts on what we've seen, not only from the back end on this defense, but from Malachi in his first year?
So Malachi Starks has had some problems so far on the back end. And he was a guy at Georgia who played all over the place, played some slot corner. And the Ravens really need him to be a free safety. They need Hamilton to be the Hamilton-type player, not Starks to be the Hamilton-type player in very simple terms. He took some really bad angles to the runner, including on the 72-yard run. Was part of the problem in terms of not making a tackle. Had a tough day, couple missed tackles, and at least maybe have three, depending on who's scoring it. And tough game for him.
Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, we've been going back and forth because, as sports, you always look for the fall guy. Whose fault is it? Is this a game of poor execution or poor game planning? Defensively. Defensively.
Defensively. I think they were way too outmanned to put up a reasonable fight against the Lions in this game. And what they did pass rush, right, they did try everything or tried everything. The frustrating thing about the Lions offensively and Goff in particular is you blitzed him or stunted or you simulated pressure. Each one of those resulted in over 8 yards per throw. It's not like any one of them you could pick out and say, okay, maybe we have something we can work with here. They tried all kinds of different rush by numbers. All of that resulted in very similar statistics across the board. Goff was just very good at reading hot when he needed to, reacting to what the defense was giving him. And he's not a big long ball threat or anything, but he is a guy who can push the ball around a little bit in the intermediate levels and make some good short throws to his playmakers. He was effective doing it. And sometimes you got to tip your hat. Sometimes the other guy is just better at taking advantage of what you do.
One of the you mentioned was obviously the pass rush. We talk about Madubuike and Jones, and obviously Van Noy is out. I got that. But we've actually been at the top of the league the last couple of years without a real pass rusher on that roster. And I haven't seen the things that I saw, like under Michael McDonald, like not a lot of unusual twisting, and safety blitzes, unusual stunts that really make up for having a Myles Garrett on the team. And I just haven't seen that, so they're not getting any pressure. It looks like they're going straight ahead very often. They'll do a corner blitz or a safety blitz, but again, it's right down the pipe. And I just haven't seen this unless you see something else on tape, and please tell me if I'm wrong. Why is there like zero pass rush now?
Okay, so the last two, let's separate kind of the 24 to the present from 23 mm-hmm. and before, because that's the McDonald era.
Right.
And you go back even to the Martindale era if you want to, but let's stick with the McDonald era versus the Orr era. McDonald took a while to get his sea legs and did finally get it right. And in 23, they led the league in sacks, I believe, because they're a triple crown defense.
Yeah.
And then in 24, they're second in the league in sacks with not a whole lot of pass rush talent in total on the team. I think that was a real testament to Orr because they didn't have good safeties either. Mm-hmm. And think about how hard it is to, get the coverage sacks and the second chance sacks you need if you don't have good coverage on the back end. We're working with three games and three sacks. That's terrible. It's not where it needs to be. I don't think this team has the horses right now to get back into a league leading sack position or in the top five even. I think this is a team that's going to really struggle to get sacks. They played some good teams, but I think that they're going to struggle to get sacks this year at anything like the same level. They don't have to though. The defense doesn't have to be pulled around sacks, but it makes things a lot easier when you can get pressure.
It's so weird because, as I'm looking at it this week, I think they're in trouble in Kansas City. I think we wind up 1-3 here in Baltimore and still trying to figure things out. And if the Travis Jones injury, if you don't have him and with a team that still struggles running the football, they're going to have success running it. And if you're not getting a pass rush on Pat Mahomes, I don't care if every receiver he has is slow as hell unless he gets Xavier Worthy back. I think they're in trouble this week. What are your thoughts on just how they match up? Because it's been a comedy of errors in Kansas City with what can go wrong does go wrong.
Right. I mean, I think you have to look first to the offensive side of the ball. If you're going to pressure the Chiefs, you need to be able to stay in a boat race with them and really get ahead of them.
Right.
The Ravens got ahead of the Lions in that third quarter, and then they lost the lead to let the game get tied, and then they lost the initiative by losing the ball and giving it back to Kansas City. And from that, giving back the Lions, and from that point forward, Detroit really had the Ravens. In Kansas City, if that happens again, if we get into a typical Baltimore Kansas City game where Baltimore is trying to fight back to get in the game, I think it'll be a very tough day for the Ravens. But I think that if they can get ahead, if they can get the offense to any more semblance of drive sustaining, then they got a chance.
Ironically, the Ravens favored by 2.5 in Kansas City.
Jeremy thinks it could be 1-3. Can this team right now that 1-2, and people are questioning how good are they? So I want you to answer that question from what you observe from film and also just watching the game in general. Up next, right here on the.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. 8:16 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Kim McCusick's joining us from filmstudybaltimore.com. Baltimore Ravens are 1-2. You heard Marlon Humphrey. He said this team's not very good right now. I think that's more of a testament, I mean, an indictment on what they are now, not a bigger picture thing. But I'm going to ask you, from what you see, are the Baltimore Ravens a team not as good as we thought they would be?
Well, they're certainly not as good as we hoped they would be.
Moving forward.
Yeah, going forward, I think this is a team that has a lot of ways to struggle through and win football games. They're a flawed team now, it appears, defensively and on both lines. They have some serious issues, but they also have a ton of playmakers. It's as great a skill position group as the Ravens have ever had. They have a great secondary still, I believe. A lot of assets there and some players maybe they could tap who were even in the TJ Tampa or Keon Martin or Lowry, who can come in as replacements. I'm still optimistic about what this team can do this year. It's just they've lost a big opportunity for the playoffs with the loss to the Bills. If Jeremy is right and they lose to the Chiefs, they're almost out of the number two seed, or they're in a lot of trouble for the number two seed. They still have a very good chance to win the division, even losing this game. But it's gonna be a slog.
Yeah, it will. The good news is, even if they lose to the Chiefs, the rest of the season, this is a very tough schedule. We knew this was coming anyway. But the rest of it, other than like maybe the Rams, the Packers in Green Bay, these are very winnable games for this team. So they could end up with, 13-4, or 12-5. It's possible, honestly. But still, there's problems. But I guess to start with what we see here, offensive line or the injuries, how much do we miss Ricard in this?
Ricard and consistent offensive line play are the reason the run game hasn't got going. It's the reason there's a high barbell of results there. The Ravens need to get back to that. That's the heart and soul of this offense, is being able to do what the Lions did to the Ravens on Monday night, which is have the audacity and have the willingness to go for it on fourth down because your running game is so dominant. The 2019 Ravens had that, and they're the highest scoring team in team history still. This team is scoring at a higher rate, which is the crazy thing.
They're the most points in the league.
Yeah, but the other problem is points per drive, any measure you want to do. The Ravens are going to be number one. But the problem is it's all barbelled results, and so they have a bunch of short drives. That's putting an incredible tax on the defense. It's almost like a tax on their own scoring to score so quickly that it's worth less.
I'll say this. I mean this. If Ricard was in, and it wouldn't have changed the fortunes of the game, I think, he would have neutralized Hutchinson and Muhammad. He would have, because he could absolutely match up with these guys. And when he kicks out the ends, he creates that off-tackle, that big off-tackle hole for Henry. It's a huge loss.
So, Ken, as we look at, you kind of touched on the running game here, but as we look at the offensive line and what's gone on with them in specific, Flele's been a big topic of conversation. How do you think he's done so far this year, and what do you make of this team? Because now you get Chris Jones, and that's no peach to deal with.
Right. Oh, I mean, Falele has actually been a lot better than people are saying. He's far from the real problem this line.
Is it the case that, like, when he's bad, let's say he had 10 plays and one of them's bad, that play stands out so bad that he was bad on that play that people are like, oh my God, he's terrible?
I think that's true. And I think the reason is he's kind of got a slow moving kind of an oafish quality that people will always try and project onto every single play. Since nobody really studies offensive line player, very, very few people do it. There's
well, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. I'm telling you. This is the,
you love it.
I do. I love it. I'll just say that he looks terrible, but actually plays a little better than that. He's a triumph of function over form.
Okay. That's kind of where I thought you were going with that when we talked about it before, because, again, if Pro Football Focus and you are seeing the same thing that everybody else is seeing, it's like, all right, so what is it? Is it just that the singular plays are so bad, but over the whole, he's been fine?
Yeah. The other thing is, he's a good pass blocker who doesn't get penalties. I can tell you, as far as weighting an offensive line scoring system, those are like the two most important things. You got to be good at pass blocking because it's like on base percentage relative to slugging. It's way more important. Mm-hmm. You got to not get penalties because they're some of the biggest variants that you can bring to an offense, and they have a big component of stalled drives that goes along with them. So the players who do that well, and he's one of them, are going to be good, even if they're poor run blockers, they have poor mobility, they look indecisive at times, and he's got all of that going as well.
Ken McKusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. 2 weeks in a row, the Ravens failed to rush for over 100 yards, and I know that's, you know, we talked about all the guys they're missing. They've not done that. That's un-Lamar Jackson era-like. Mm-hmm. Ken, is this just a product of the opponents? Because they played two very good defensive lines, and the Lions and the Browns, or is something that should be concerning moving forward?
First of all, the Lions and the Browns are both great defensive teams, at least in this way. The Lions pack the box like crazy, and they dare you to throw the ball. So you have to oblige them and throw the ball over that defense. They play a ton of man. They also play, they're one of the few teams that does this. They'll play their 4-3 base defense versus 11 personnel a fair amount of the time. Almost always, Pat Kerwin calls it forcing the nickel when you put a third receiver on the field. You force the other team to go into this later thing. And it's a lot of teams prefer to run the ball by forcing the nickel and then running against a smaller unit. The Lions just will have none of that, and they've got fairly athletic linebackers. And Jackson, fortunately, did make them pay in the passing game. So, these last two teams, that's as tough a test as you can have trying to run the ball with an average offensive line.
So, if we could look forward to next week and go back to Jeremy's prediction, Mahomes is the king of short pass success. More touchdowns on screens than anybody else. It just lacerates defenses with those short passes. The Ravens are playing very soft right now. They're playing off the ball. They're vulnerable. They're vulnerable to every pass. I mean, there were guys. Amon-Ra St. Brown was so open in some place. There was nobody in the TV shot with him. I don't know how that happens in the NFL. So how do you fix that this week? And do you think they will be successful against the Chiefs?
So I think they don't have a lot of fixes available to them that are changes they can make schematically, but they have one that they could try, and that is moving Hamilton up into the box and playing a very, very more extensively in terms of dime packages. I think that could be done. I don't know if they will do it, but if you want to take away the strong side of the football field and take away some of the things that Mahomes does well, Hamilton up front will help a lot. I don't know if they have the trust in Lowry to play the back end. I think Kane, is a good overall player and a special teams player. I don't think they really trust him on the back end the way they trust Lowry. Sometimes one snap will tell you, Ed, and the last snap of the first half, Lowry was on the back end and not Kane. 7 DBs in the game, right. No Kane, but Lowry was back there at safety.
We saw Mark Andrews make an appearance, so maybe getting some fans kind of off his back as he had a very good game. But Zay disappeared. What did you see when you watched the film?
Yeah, so that was unfortunate, obviously. This was a game where they probably schemed some to get some guys back in the game, Bateman and Andrews in particular, to get them back into the offense. So I think that was good. Need to rebuild some of that trust. Hopkins was there again in terms of trust. Great to see the nice corner route by Walker. But Zay was lost, and I was a little surprised by it because when you're facing a team that likes to play so much base defense, you would think that Zay Flowers would just have a field day going between the linebackers and the safeties. Now, the two safeties for Detroit, two of their most dangerous players, Branch and Kirby Joseph, are two of their best defensive players. So they might wanted to have kept the ball away from them, which means go outside the numbers a little bit, and they did some of that with
Branch should have had a pick. He dropped it.
Yeah.
Hey, tell us all about Film Study Baltimore, Ken McKusick.
Yep, so filmstudybaltimore.com is the website. I'm at Film Study Ravens on Twitter. You got a defense article out there right now, which goes over a lot of the woes of what they tried against the Lions. And we got an offensive line article be out this afternoon and with scoring that is surprisingly better than you would think.
People are continuing to talk about Lamar Jackson's body language during and after Monday night's loss. We'll talk about that as well at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, Orioles-Rays recap up next on The Fan.
It's not about how you start, it's how you finish. That's what everybody remembers. So to be able to go out and get some cheers definitely helps.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. That's Dean Kramer, who last night was a dude, guys.
He shoved it.
He was an absolute dude. You pick up on Ben McDonald saying that all the time, too.
Hello?
Now come on, guys. You got to shove it.
I've started saying it. Because, like, anytime I pick a game and I'm like, hey, this is the perfect spot to attack this pitcher. And I come back and I'm like, man, that pitcher just shoved it on me. And I was wondering where I picked it up from.
Ben McDonald. It was Ben McDonald.
Son of a bitch, man.
Shove it. Come on. He was shoving it today. Yeah. Kramer went 6 1/3 innings, giving up no runs on one hit, 4 strikeouts. I love what he does well because you guys know he's my favorite, so it justifies me for talking about him. Great game yesterday. He was a bulldog last night, man. I mean, he finishes out, I believe that's his last start of the year. 11-10 is his record. Dean Kramer threw 170 in the third innings. That's pretty good.
And with some injuries too, and getting back out there. By the way, have you ever looked at his career numbers as opposed to his numbers this season? He is who he is. Like his career numbers, it's almost like every single season when you look at Dean Kramer.
That's what you get from him. Yeah,
it's like his ERA is going to be slightly above 4. He's going to keep you in a bunch of games. He'll have a decent amount of Ks. Mm-hmm. He's not going to overwhelm you there. He's going to have a slow start in April. He might have a slow start in a first inning or two, but usually settles down. And he's one of those guys. I talked about teams that were built for the regular season. Like the Reds used to have like 5 Dean Kramers in their starting rotation. It. And it's good enough to get you through the season and get in the postseason. I think Dean's way better than people want to give him credit for.
You got to have one of those in your rotation. Mm-hmm. You got to have a Dean.
Mm-hmm.
To me, when you talk about innings eaters, Ed, with guys with ERAs of 5, I want you to throw fewer innings. 4.23, yes. 107 innings, 11 wins. Mm-hmm. That's an innings eater.
Yes.
That's the guy I want as my innings eater. A guy that has ERA under 5, not over 5.
So Dean's ERA this year was what, 3.9? Or I'm looking at the wrong thing.
4.23.
Yeah, 4.23. And it's funny, as you look at his career, ERA is 4.27. And it's just, he is who he is each year. 4.23, 4.10, 4.12, 3.23. He had the rough year 2021.
Yeah. 410.
Call in.
Find out these stats. Guys, I was so glad. Joe, there's a soundbite you played earlier today. I don't know if it's from last night or not. When Marcelino was telling people what I've been saying now, Ed, since last year about Dean. You guys don't see the behind the scenes, Dean. You don't. He is a behind-the-scenes dude. This is what Marcelino had to say.
Yeah, Dino is a very valuable part of this team in a lot of ways. Obviously, what you see on the field, but behind the scenes, too, in the clubhouse as well. He's been one of the guys that has stepped up a little bit and kind of helped get us in the clubhouse. But, you know, obviously on the field, you know, he's a guy that, you know, has good starts. A lot of them eats innings, wins big games. He's pitching in the AL East, too. You know, all these teams that he's facing in this division, they've seen him a ton here over the last 5 years or so. You know, to see him go out against another AL East foe that's, you know, a solid team, hasn't probably been playing their best here lately, but to still navigate it the way he did speaks volume of what Dean does.
When he's not pitching, Ed, you see him on camera in that dugout more than anybody. He's getting back with back in the day, the homer hose.
Yeah.
Now the touchdown helmet. Yes. When the last Rodgers start, not the one, but the one before last, when Rodgers came off the field after just dealing, he was sitting there bowing down to him. We're not worthy. He's that guy. He's in the clubhouse constantly talking. Even on days that he pitches, he's probably not supposed to. But he's that. Jeremy, he is, I think, I said it before, probably the most misunderstood person on his roster.
Yeah, because I feel like, all right, so when I first interviewed him when he was at Bowie after the trade, you could kind of get the, like, he's very straightforward. I bet he has a very dry sense of humor, too. You could probably tell me more about that than I know, but that would be my guess. But he has that feel of, like, that Cali kid. He's just laid back until he gets on the mound, and then he's locked in. And I don't know why people have had an issue with him, because if he's one of your 5, I think you don't want him to be number one, but if he's one of your 5, I think you got to feel comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Very consistent.
Absolutely.
And again, like, so if you look,
go ahead.
You go.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, because consistency is important, because I don't want a guy to go out there and just, you know, be unhittable, and then the next 2 starts, he goes 3 innings. You want somebody who you know what you're going to get. Every time he goes out, you're going to get this. I'll take that. And then give me a Trevor Rogers and, you know, and somebody like that in the rotation.
Like, you have certain
guys. And a Bradish, and you got some guys there.
In your rotation that you go, okay, he's going to go 6 innings, give up 2 or 3 runs. I know what we get with him each time he goes out there. And Kramer's been one of those guys too. Like, if we want to talk about guys that have gone deep into the game, he's probably the first one you're going to look at, right? That's gone to the seventh inning and beyond a couple of times. So I even think he went seven innings when we had the opener in front of him the one time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like again, if you're looking at the rotation for next year, I think he has to be a part of it. But I also believe they have to go out and get another starting pitcher.
They have to. Framber Valdez.
That's
Framber.
Framber.
Framber Valdez would be awesome. I love that guy.
Sinker baller with a cutter. And he's left-handed to kind of mitigate, you know, the short, you look out at the flag court. So you're mitigating some left-handed power with him. And then on top of it, Dylan Cease would be the other guy I'd be interested in. But again, I think Framber's the better option.
Can you imagine? Rodgers.
Zach Gallen, too.
Bradish. Bradish. Framber. Kramer. Add any other person to that. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I mean it. Seriously.
What happens with Eflin?
Eflin's not under contract.
I know, but what? Like,
well, do you pick him back up? Is what you're saying?
I'm saying you're going to give him a qualifying offer.
I don't. You probably. I don't know what. I don't know the extent of the injury. The fact that he went straight home concerns me, because Eflin's not that guy. Eflin's a guy that would probably love to still be around the team. The fact that he went home. It kind of concerns me. It kind of concerns me about the extent of that injury. But yeah, I mean, I love it. I love that.
Because like, but I still feel like.
Does Wells stay in the rotation then?
He's looked good in the rotation, but I think he's going to be better in the bullpen.
I think so too. I think he's a good starter. I think he could be a lights out reliever.
I do too.
I don't know the extent of
Albert Suarez's injury.
Albert Suarez's injury. I don't know the extent of that. But if he can come back, I hope he can lure his brother Robert Suarez here. He's a free agent. That'd be a closer. Can you imagine having, let's say they convert him, Wells, Suarez, and Suarez
so,
back into that, along with you've got Ends back there. Now all of a sudden your bullpen starts to look steadily. McDermott has to learn how to throw strikes, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's scared of the strike zone.
Well, I'm just saying I think he's more of a bullpen piece than a starter.
Scared of the strike zone. Scared to death.
Definitely has strikeout ability, and that's what you want back there, a flamethrower that can come in and get it done. But as Rob's saying, you don't want a guy in your bullpen that's nibble out there walking everyone. And
run the strike zone. You don't want that. Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Welcome back.
Ciao, guys. I'm back from Sicily, and I ate a lot of pasta and pizza.
Paisano.
Does Mike Elias's promotion mean the Orioles will make some big moves this offseason, or just more of the same? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day as well.
I think they have to make moves. This is after the last offseason, and I go back to it too. People keep talking about what they didn't get in the last. I just want to know what people wanted. Who did you want them to sign this past offseason? Which wasn't a great free agent market outside of some starting pitchers, but they all got. Like, Max Fried got way overpaid, and he's having the best year amongst those guys. We don't know what they asked for in a trade with Garrett Crochet, but Crochet's looked phenomenal. Burns got hurt. Snell got hurt. The Japanese pitcher Sasaki, he got hurt. All these names that people want him to go at, Pivetta and Evaldi. Evaldi ended up getting hurt, but still was solid all year. Those guys, I don't know if they were in on him or those guys just wanted to go to the specific teams. It seemed like Evaldi wanted to stay with Texas. And then when you look at the free agent market, which bats? They weren't in on Juan Soto. So you tell me, what bat did you want them to go get?
I think Soto wanted to stay in New York anyway.
It was just a bad offseason and a comedy of errors of what went down. And now they have to be serious and think about overpaying guys just to say, hey, we're showing you. And the good news is from the pitching standpoint, there's a ton out there. There's a ton you can get, whether it's bullpen or starters. The bad news is outside of Kyle Tucker, I don't know what position players you want on the free agent market. Like Kyle Schwarber's out there, but again, we've talked about him. That's no a DH.
Gloves,
That's a DH, and it's another left-handed bat. Not that I would say no to that at all. I'm just saying he feels like that perfect guy, like the vet that you need in this lineup. And I know a lot of people are interested in that. Could you pry him away from Philly? And what does he have left?
I think no. You're not prying him away from there. Hey, Ed, we're giving out shovels. Who you got?
I'm going to give mine to the Detroit Tigers. They're making history.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovel's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057. The Fan. Ed Norris will get you a shovel.
Well, I might just be mad at the city of Detroit, but I'm giving it to the Detroit Tigers, not the Lions. Yeah, can't give it to the Lions. They whooped us. The Tigers, the Detroit Tigers, led the Cleveland Guardians by 15 and a half games as of July 8th this year. Did I mention it was 15 and a half games?
15 and a half.
15. July 8th. And Cleveland now, as you know, is caught up with them. If Cleveland wins this division, it's going to be the biggest comeback for postseason berth winning the division in 125
years. Which means it's the biggest dump in 125
years. Yes, by the Tigers.
You put that nicely.
Yes.
So you gave the positive.
Either way you want it. It's either the biggest collapse ever or the biggest comeback ever. But this is it's the biggest collapse in 125 years. It's stunning what the Tigers have done.
Jeremy Cohen.
I'm going to give this shovel to some of my subscribers, former subscribers. I've been talking about this for a while. So when you guys have a subscription, right? You either pay monthly or yearly.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when the payment comes up the next month? It comes out, right?
Yes, automatically.
If you buy something annually.
There's a disclaimer there when you buy the first year.
I buy Pro Football Focus every year. I buy whatever it was. It was Sirius for a while, even though I'm not listening to that anymore. Twitter to get, you have to now to get the blue check mark and to be able to promote when you have a business. It makes sense. I've had so many people, and I've been saying this since July when it comes to my website. It's $20 a month or $200 for a year. I gave a lot of people a free year. Mm-hmm. And then I get these messages. Hey, man, something just came out of my account, and I don't know why. Yeah, because you signed up and put your credit card in. That's what happened. And I had three of these guys write me and go, pretty sneaky by you to kind of have it. I said,
did they really?
I swear to you. And I said, first off, and I don't even know if I'm coming across like a jerk. And I'm, I obviously
first
worry
off,
about
call somebody sneaky is pretty crappy.
But when you sign up for a subscription and you put your credit card in, unless you go in and cancel it, it's going to come out.
Jeremy, that's what you really giving these grown people this lesson? They've had credit cards all their adult lives. They know how this works. Do that because, unlike the other companies, they can get a hold of you.
And you know what?
They can't get a hold of the other company. Yeah. So they feel like if they know you, you're a nice guy. If I contact Jeremy will give me my money
He'll
back.
He'll say, okay.
Exactly.
That's
why they do it.
Can I tell you why this doubly pisses me off? Is first off, I've been sending them emails and messages saying, if you want to cancel, the annual is coming up for most people. Most of you guys signed up in August and September. If you want to cancel, go in and cancel. But you won't be getting the plays if you cancel. If you've signed up for this and I gave it to you for free, cancel it or it's going to come out. And the reason I ask people to do that is because they charge me a percentage to refund it. So now I lose money because you didn't do. And
you know how you don't lose money?
Don't give it back.
Don't give it back, Jeremy. Again, they're not new to credit cards. When you subscribe to something, the subscription is automatic renewal unless I have a subscription to Apple Music. It's coming out on the 24th.
Yep.
24th. If I don't cancel before, I can't cancel on the 23rd because it's already processing. Mm-hmm. I had to cancel by the 19th, which is already done, right? What's the date?
So,
this 24th.
The 24th.
Does Apple send you a message saying if you want to cancel, make sure you go in and cancel?
No, they don't.
Because I did that. And then all these, it's so funny because one of the guys like, oh, I don't read the emails. I read Telegram.
It's your phone.
Well, no, it's not because I copy and paste the emails into Telegram.
Nah,
it's the same thing.
It's still his fault. Stop it. I get my shovel to me. You guys ever play gas roulette? I play it all the time.
What do you mean?
See how long I could drive my car before filling it up.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm that
Guess
guy.
Guess what?
You lost?
I lost. I lost on 543 just as I got off the I-95. And
at least you're off 95.
And the Royal Farm was up there. Where? Up there.
Did anybody get out and help you push?
I was afraid to, man. I just pulled that thing over to the side, went up there, bought me a gas can, put some gas in it. Oh, man. I'm like, I'm sitting there walking. I didn't want to call anybody up and ask for a ride. I'm walking laughing at myself.
It's really?
I'm laughing at myself, man. But the good news is I got 443 miles.
Yeah. By the way.
So now I know the number. Next time when I go 439, I need to find gas because I'm coming up.
But you still, depending on what type of vehicle it is, you can look it up online. You still, even when it hits E, and this is a shame that I know this, you still have about a quarter tank of
gas. That's what I do. That's what I did. And I played gas roulette, and got hit.
Yeah.
I took one. Let's go to Frank in Towson. What's up, Frank?
Hey, good morning, guys. I got a double for NFL people, limit the players. Right? And they slam helmets against helmets, but the referee will throw a helmet, throw a penalty flag if the quarterback gets brushed by a fingertip attacked to the helmet. Yep. But yet the quarterback will run into the end zone to celebrate, and they're all headbutting each other. Shovel the water for them guys.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call, man. Appreciate that. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Yeah, I ain't have a shovel. I thought that was going to take me in the last segment with the old.
We ain't had time. Now you in. What's up?
Now you get the shovel.
Shut up, Jeremy, man. And I see you was in your spaceship last night, man, when you called in the JR show right after me, man. You kept it together.
You don't know if I was in my spaceship or not. Neither do they. Because I'm in it much that I sound the same every time now.
You were so professional in there. Like, you ain't say nothing crazy about your butt or nothing, man. You just react differently on them national shows. I noticed that, man.
Hey, man, that's JR. You don't do that on JR's show.
For sure, yeah. Hey, y'all was talking about the olds earlier, right, in pitching rotation. So let me pose this question. If for some reason they can't, they get outbid by all these starting pitchers, would y'all be comfortable with the starting rotation we have now and them just adding two solid bullpen pieces?
Nope. You gotta add a starter. Gotta add a starter, Rashawn. Gotta add one. Mm-hmm. If you want to be that team, you gotta add a starter.
You gotta get a vet.
Yeah.
So that Famba guy you was talking about earlier, how much will he cost, you think?
It ain't your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I know stuff going to increase, the hot dogs and the sodas and all that, man. I'll be paying $17 for a Michelob Ultra.
You ain't paying no $17 for no Michelob Ultra at Camden Yards.
Well, it was $15.
Well, why does it get cheaper now? Is it on sale?
I forgot the tip. I'm a big tipper. So, always leave a couple dollars for the ladies, depending on how she look. But, yeah.
So you don't tip the dudes?
Nah, I don't go to dude bartenders, man. I don't like them, man. I don't want no guy making my drink.
Hold on. I've heard of guys saying I don't want to go to a male masseuse, and you kind of look at it and go, I understand it, but it's not that serious. You won't go to a male bartender?
No, not at all, man, because it's just when a girl's making my drink, I like to look in the eyes and flirt with her, and try to get an extra pull out of it.
You flirt with everybody. Like you flirt with women, you flirt with men, you flirt with animals. It's like whatever's in front of you. It's like...
I flirt with an animal. What?
Yeah, those doves.
No. Yeah. But y'all have a good one, man. I got to...
Gotta go.
Hey, speaking of what he's talking about, it's so funny because when I went on JR's show, he goes, we just had a caller from Baltimore. And I'm going, was it Dave in Salisbury? Was it this guy, that guy? Immediately, I get a text saying, that caller was me from Rashawn. It's like, where is it? He's everywhere, man. He's on Dallas stations, national stations. He calls in on these shows.
People are continuing to comment on Lamar's body language during the Monday Night Loss. Are people making something out of nothing? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.